In people news, the best of times, the worst of times, but something very exciting for the parish throughout. Of course, that's all wrapped in with wonderful letters from Santa, a couple of deals and much, much more. Welcome to the Exchange Invest Weekly with me, Patrick L. Young. Before we get down to the week's wheeling and dealing, this episode of the Exchange Invest Weekly, number 24 no less, is recorded against the backstop of it being St. Nicholas Day. What more appropriate message could there be than the fact that on Thursday, the European Union's financial watchdog, ESMA, called for a single feed for stock prices across the region? This amounts to perfect seasonal timing to be reporting on St. Nicholas Days, and indeed, in a world exclusive, Exchange Invest has been able to find the original ESMA memo containing the distributed tape request, which reads as follows. Dear Santa, as you may know, our efforts to deliver a consolidated tape across European stock market prices have to date been an even greater failure than our Capital Markets Union plans. Even without the UK, we're still nowhere near getting this done as 27 nations. So, as we have all been good boys and girls this year, even the ones in Brussels assure me this is true, we were wondering if you, Santa, could bring us a single pricing stream for Christmas. Yours sincerely, Stephen Mayor and the ESMA team. And in deal news this week, the Swiss exchange operator SIX have added three major Spanish banks in their attempt to court BME. They've been added to the investment banker register, those people who are going to be working assiduously to get the deal over the line on behalf of the Swiss exchange group. So Santander, BBVA and Caixa Bank have all joined the SIX advisory roster, making for a pretty compelling argument, one suspects on the ground in Spain, that SIX is leading the way. Indeed, I think that perhaps suggests that Euronext is sitting out the bidding for now. What on earth can be on their minds? Meanwhile, they did conclude one minor deal this week. Euronext are going to buy a controlling stake, 66% of the share capital, of the Nordic power market operator Nord Pool. Interesting acquisition on top of their Oslo Bourse buy to acquire the neighbouring energy pool hub physical power market. Not a huge amount of money, the whole enterprise value basis is about $93 million, but nonetheless quite interesting, particularly given the fact that Euronext, with a 34% minority stake through a joint holding company held by the previous owners, that means that the Paris-based, or at least strictly speaking Amsterdam-based, but we all know it's Paris-based, Euronext is going to be entering into the power market with strong and experienced partners. That's very, very interesting because, of course, it adds Euronext Power back into its mix. As you may recall, PowerNext, which is now part of EEX, which then became part of DB1, was part-owned from its foundation in 2000 AD by Euronext, but they ultimately sold their stake in 2008 during the Duncan years. It's an interesting low-cost acquisition for Euronext, which can't do the entity any harm. Albeit, the asset portfolio is beginning to sprawl a little, even if Nord Pool is Oslo-based. In other negotiations this week, we've heard that SIBO, amongst others, is talking with EuroCCP over a possible takeover. SIBO Europe clearly needs to protect its CCP clearing relationship for cash equities. But at the same time, it's equally possible that several of the other parties that are already shareholders, including, for example, DTCC, amongst others, may also want to exert the same sort of right to hold on to their stakes in EuroCCP, including, of course, their most recent investor, which was Euronext only a couple of years back. In the Turkish financial sector, JCR Eurasia, which seems to be being set up as the national credit rating agency which the government under President Erdogan was trying to create a few months back. Therefore, the Japan credit rating agency is now only going to hold 14.95%. They are, after all, the JCR in JCR Eurasia. Borsa Istanbul is going to hold 18.5%, and overall the Turkish financial sector will represent 85.05% of the venture. News from Borsa Kuwait, the IPO there appears to be more than 8.5 times oversubscribed, which is very healthy. And there's been a lot more speculation during the course of the week. The Wall Street Journal jumping in where I was talking about this in the last week in the Exchange Invest newsletter and indeed on this podcast. Bloomberg 2020, the buyout, not the candidate. Given the Pravda Light approach of Mr. Bloomberg's candidacy, Well, if that candidacy birth has not already been killed through his Pravda-lite approach, his desire to be the self-appointed messiah of the Democrats suggests to many, not just me, that obviously Bloomberg Inc. is for sale, and the Wall Street Journal seem to be joining the fray, as otherwise the path to the White House is surely simply too difficult in a world where 2,500 qualified Bloomberg journalists are now quite justifiably being branded as fake news franchisees. Amongst the new markets we saw this week, Dmitry Galanov's new FX derivatives exchange has gone live, trading its first FX NDF product at 24 Exchange. Over in India, the National Stock Exchange, their consolidated net profit rose 5.75% in the September quarter, while in Johannesburg, the stock exchange there has joined hands with the African Development Bank and a group of other exchanges to endeavour to create cross-border investment opportunities throughout the continent of Africa. The Luxembourg Stock Exchange, who we don't hear from very often, they've acquired a minority 10% stake in the bond issuance startup Origin in an effort to try and bring bond sales closer to automation. Of course, that's going to be very important for Luxembourg, given that the Luxembourg Stock Exchange itself is a huge listing venue of public, but not very publicly traded, massive bonds and other entities, special purpose vehicles and the like, where Luxembourg Stock Exchange squares off very, very strongly against the likes of the Irish Stock Exchange, now Euronext Dublin. In trade, co-founder Ron Bernstein, who I remember well from my time, indeed as a co-founder of TradeSport's GSX In Trade myself. Well, Ron is quite the indefatigable figure. He has taken the software, the operations and everything else of In Trade, and he is trying to make it work one more time. Gosh, 20 years on from the original launch, pretty much. What is it? 19 years, something like that, since TradeSports originally came to life. Quite fascinating altogether. It will be intriguing to see if he can make the original concept come to light now that the US regulatory winds appear to be blowing in the right way. All the best, Ron. Similarly, in betting platform news, the Hong Kong Jockey Club is trying to block Betfair Australia from using its races in any way. That's a long-running spat since Betfair tried to launch their own exchange in Hong Kong, competing with the SAR's horse racing behemoth. Meanwhile, the Winklevoss brothers, they're trying to move Gemini Exchange into Europe. They've been hiring various parties, including the co-founder of Starling Bank. And indeed, the Shanghai Gold Exchange is mulling entry into India's gold import market, which could prove, well, enough to give SEBI a coronary. In other news, quite fascinating breaking views, the Reuters offshoot, they mention the fact that the London-Shanghai bridge leads back to Hong Kong, noting the fact that barely weeks after the LSE's management placed myopic self-interest above the good of both the bourse they are stewarding and the London Financial Centre, what we're now seeing is that effectively listings are preferring the fact that the London-Shanghai link is merely a representative office linkage compared to what is the full branch status of Hong Kong's myriad linkages to the Chinese mainland. To which end, Hong Kong Exchange is the proven listing venue, and if only the good folks of the London Stock Exchange had been listening, they too could have been part of that success story. In clearinghouses this week, there was an interesting story in Risk about clearinghouse power downs, raising fears amongst members, well worth a read. Meanwhile, Wall Street managed to notch a first win against the European Union's derivatives clearinghouses, where the European Union and the Euro Parliament have, well, as is their wont on so many occasions, come in with a rather restrictive ethos. They're looking for the clearinghouses to put in more capital at the first juncture, which is obviously something the clearinghouse industry has been quite understandably trying to resist, for the simple reason that this ends up meaning that the rest of us are now mutualising the risks that the banks don't want to pay for in the clearinghouse system. Over in Germany, a German court has stated the obvious. The Cum-Ex trading scheme was illegal. Hashtag zero shock. There's only one daily news source for the business of bourses, Exchange Invest, the exchange of information. Exchange Invest publishes the daily digest of everything in the market structure industry around the world in a user-friendly email briefing format from Monday to Friday. With additional pith by former Exchange CEO and long-standing fintech pioneer Patrick L. Young, yes, that's me, Exchange Invest is the unique one-stop shop for the daily news in markets, market operators and related functions. Exchange Invest is available to subscribers at $200 per user per year or currency equivalent. You can get more details at exchangeinvest.com or email me, Patrick at derivativesvision.com. In people news, the Pakistan Stock Exchange is expected to appoint a Pakistani national as CEO this time round after their unfortunate relationship with their Canadian CEO ended in tears a few months back. Equally, that may come as some of a blow to the Chinese stakeholders that have invested in the Pakistani exchange, who may have been hoping to parachute in an executive from the Chinese mainland. Elsewhere, and then of course the big people news of the week that we flagged in our last edition, Kelly Loeffler, the boss of the crypto exchange backed, longtime senior executive of the Intercontinental Exchange. She is going to be the next US senator for Georgia, joining the ticket there, taking up the end of the Senate term of Senator Isaacson, who unfortunately due to illness has had to stand down. It has to be said, I'm already signed up for the Loeffler for President campaign, whether it's 2024, 28, 32, or indeed whenever she chooses to run. Kelly will have a special election in the meanwhile in the presidential cycle 2020 to win. That will allow her to complete the term through 2022, when she'll be able to stand for her own mandate for the Senate in the normal Senate cycle for her position in Georgia. It's great news for the parish, a brilliantly capable woman added to the Senate, a win-win for the parish and for the US markets, and indeed for the US governmental system. All the very, very best to Kelly, albeit in many senses, it is the best of times and the worst of times for the parish, as we're losing one of, well, our most pragmatic and excellent parishioners. Anyway, good luck to Kelly as she becomes one of the, 110, 111 most important folks in the USA. I'm calculating that as being POTUS the VP, 100 senators, the Speaker of Congress, the Justices of the Supreme Court, etc., which gets us to 110, 111 people overall. It's great news for the parish, a shame for ICE and BACT, albeit those who write off ICE on the base of one excellent staffer departing have invariably been proven wrong. And indeed, that's what they will be proven in due course with the European Clearinghouse, where their boss, where Finbar Hutchinson, is standing down 2 and a bit years after he took over from the retiring Paul Swan. No news on new appointments either to lead BACT or indeed to be the head of the ICE Europe Clearinghouse at the moment, but we wish all parties a very successful and happy existence after the ICE experience. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast. Deutsche Börse, they have confirmed what we reported in August as a rumour. Martin Jetter, former senior executive with IBM, is going to succeed the somewhat hapless failed chairmanship of Joachim Faber. Therefore, Faber will resign as expected from the supervisory board at the end of the annual general meeting on 19th of May 2020. All the very best to Martin Jetter. He takes over Deutsche Börse while it remains, somewhat rudderless as an organisation. And under the chairmanship of Joachim Faber, certainly DB1 was not without its, not too many thrills, but unfortunately rather a lot of spills. Daft, crazy bids for the LSE and a fabulously inept CEO who was ousted through, what might be politely described as a very unsavoury brush with authorities amid hints of and undertones of insider dealing, amongst other things. Elsewhere during the course of the week, the European Union's banking watchdog told banks, get a grip on costs, or merge, or close. What wonderful news. I do look forward to this very coherent advice being applied to the European Union's own agencies and institutions in due course. In technology news, I suppose the most exciting thing we saw was that actually the Pakistan Stock Exchange gave us a number that it's costing them to acquire trading and surveillance systems from China's Shenzhen Stock Exchange, of course also a stakeholder in the Pakistan Exchange. $2.85 million is the number that they're giving for that, which strikes me as being, certainly not the cheapest deal around, but it's way, way, way miles and miles and miles and miles and continents away from what it could have been at the most expensive end of the deal. In regulation news elsewhere, we had news from the EU's regulator, the ESMA folks, saying that MiFID II rules have failed on market data costs. No need to narrow the scope there, ESMA. MiFID II has failed. Full stop. Meanwhile, speaking of ESMA, they have approved another clearinghouse. Not, it has to be said, that they're recognising instantaneously London's massive global central counterparty clearinghouses, which have oodles of capital, but rather they've recognised their first Indian clearing corporation, MCXCCL, which I agree sounds like a number in Roman numerals. The MCX's commodity clearing CCP, it's great news for them. They're now going to have full ESMA recognition, but it does raise this huge question, ladies and gentlemen. Just when will ESMA be allowed to actually regulate instead of being a political arm of the protectionist Brussels superstate? In product news, Alibaba's Hong Kong shares got fast entry into the Hang Seng Composite Index. No surprise whatsoever there. Meanwhile, lots of concern, as always, about the demise of LIBOR, with no great clarity coming from the governmental figures who seem to be urgently trying to kill it off. Meanwhile, we heard some news that the ECB, the European Central Bank, is plotting a crypto rival to beat, as the Forbes headline put it, evil Bitcoin. Okay, how can I put this charitably? Let's just say the European Central Bank already has, in, how might I put it, startup terminology, well, a fast fail culture for developing currencies. How can their Bitcoin replacement possibly do anything but succeed on the back of the lessons they've already learned? And so, ladies and gentlemen, in a week where we saw the first senator of the parish, and the first female senator of the parish indeed, a second female senator in the history of the state of Georgia, I do believe, to represent that huge and thriving state. Amongst other things, a new chairman for the Deutsche Börse, and all manners of interesting wheels and deals into Scandinavia with Nord Pool and the possibility of something happening to rationalise the shareholding of EuroCCP, let alone the ongoing battle for BME, where, intriguingly, Euronext seemed to be amazingly quiet. Does that mean that indeed Borsa Italiana is going to be coming into play soon? Ladies and gentlemen, on that note, lots to ponder for the course of the next week. My name is Patrick L. Young. Thank you for listening to the Exchange Invest Weekly. I'll be back with the daily newsletter for subscribers of the Business of Bourses Exchange Invest come Monday. And in the meanwhile, I hope you all have a great week in markets. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.